All right, it's a Monday. Here we are again, John.
Hey, Bo.
Another Audible, John Kanjemi, Kim Bocamper with you. Talk a little playoffs.
That's right.
Talk a little bit of college football national championship.
Yeah, what's going on tonight?
It's hard to believe that the college football wraps up tonight and it's all over with. You know, it seems like you spend so much time, and it'll start. When's the Super Bowl this year? Like February?
First Sunday in February.
So the first Sunday in March will be about the time where it goes, man, I can't wait for the season to start.
I know. Because you're done talking about free agency. You're leading up to the draft. So you really don't want to get there yet because OTAs are around the corner. And that doesn't mean anything. Yeah. You want to talk about the season.
Yeah, you start looking ahead now.
You want to talk about real football games. Right?
And then you get there and it's just July and you got training camp. And you go, man, we're getting ready for the grind here. You know, the marathon goes. And all you're sitting here go, what happened to the season?
I know it.
It came and went. This year, in a blink of an eye, man.
This year was weird because about mid-October, early November, I started to get that, man, I can't wait for college football season to be over because I know that I only have the Dolphins on Sunday for the whole week. So after being in a plane for every consecutive weekend for about 20 weeks in a row, I was ready. And now I'm charged again. I'm ready to go again. Man, I don't want this to be the last game, but it is.
Literally had one weekend off. It's funny because I was watching the games yesterday, and I'm sitting there, went to one of the restaurants and just sat there and watched and go, you know, this is the first time all year. Because, I see one game a week. I see the Dolphin game every week, and that's it. You know, I may catch a little bit of the Monday night game or maybe a little bit of the Sunday night game. I usually don't watch the Thursday night games because they're usually duds anyway. But and by that time, I'm kind of footballed out, So it was nice to be able to – really, it was nice to kind of sit there and be just a normal guy on a normal Sunday that gets to watch a couple different games.
And you know what was pretty cool, Bo? I did the same thing. And I didn't have to watch four quarters of football.
I
got a taste of it.
Yeah.
I knew what was going down on a couple of them. Some were surprising, like Tennessee coming back against Kansas City. But I didn't see one game from
completely
start to finish.
I'm really not in that position either. I can't. I usually watch it a little bit. When I go to commercial, I start searching, you know.
Dustin Johnson hit a drive.
Yeah, I watched
a little golf.
And then I flipped through one. I ran into an episode of Blue Bloods.
Oh, you got to stick there.
Which I got to, you know, I got to put the brakes on it, Blue Bloods, and stay there and watch that a little bit.
That's right.
And then let me go back. Oh, geez, they scored a touchdown, you know. Watch that for a little, then go back and see what
Jordan Spieth's
doing.
Fast
forward.
It's like
the red zone, but you go to the red zone. You just go when you want to go, right? You got all the other things going on, so... But it's just hard for me to believe that there's two things hard for me. Hard for me to believe the season's over already right now. And the other thing that's hard for me to understand, John, is this thing right here. See that thing right there?
Yeah.
That little IFB that I got to wear?
Yeah.
Because I've been wearing this IFB when we come inside the studio now for – we've been doing this – hey, Jeff, how many years have we been doing this for almost two full years, right? We've been doing this. Every time I come in the studio –
I put this thing in my ear.
I put it in my ear, right? Yeah. And the only time anyone talks to me in my ear was before we go on the show and they go, hey, you got your IFB in? I go, yeah, I got it in. And that's the last I ever hear from anybody. But every day, it's in there.
It's in there every day. Well, just in case.
No, one's talking to me. There's nothing coming about.
Just there, just in case. You know what? It all goes back to Leon.
Yeah.
Because he's non-existent. Really,
well,
I mean, I don't know where he is half the time.
Right? Well, he's not. Jeff's in there now. Leon's off bullshitting around somewhere.
Thank goodness the glue is
here. Who knows where the hell he's at?
The glue's here, right?
Yeah.
And then they brought reinforcements in. Yeah. Tom's here today. Matt's here today.
Yeah.
Logan, he's a staple.
Logan's always in there. I don't know what Logan does.
But he's here.
He's always here. And, you know, I think Logan does a really good job of acting busy.
Oh, absolutely.
But he's not really doing anything.
No. Well, he's got to go to Dunkin' Donuts.
He's usually dicking around with somebody on some video or whatever they got.
You ever see him? I got to give you the 24 hours. So he goes
24
to Dunkin'
hours of Logan.
24 hours.
We're not talking
Dunkin'
about
Donut.
Wolverine Logan,
no.
right?
Iced coffee.
Okay.
Iced coffee to start, right?
Yeah.
Peruse the internet a little bit, you know, a couple crosswords. And then he'll be rendering. He's rendering all the time.
Rendering takes a long time. Rendering is the video equivalent of saying,
of going to the cans.
Yeah, yeah. If I got to go take a dump, I'll be back in about, I'll be anywhere from 3 to 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you come back and you sit there
it's
and
still
you,
rendering.
And you play a video game and go, Logan, I need you. It's rendering.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm busy here.
You get it. Well, yeah, now, but it might be over.
Okay, so that's the first, what's the morning? Now we got lunch.
Yeah.
Lunch.
How
nice.
Many iced coffees you do?
Well, another iced coffee for the walk back.
Too big. Is he double D?
He's double D.
He's double D.
Double
D. Dunkin' Donuts
walk
iced coffee.
Back, yeah. You're still rendering, obviously.
Yeah.
Couple other things. You know, a couple cleanup orders, stuff from the day before. Didn't get done. Now it's almost time to go home.
Well, let's not forget now, they bring lunch into the media.
Well, absolutely.
And there's, there's sandwiches and
the
there's
media
cookies.
Media gets upset if it's not there on time. They have no problem telling you about it. If it's not hot and on time, we got issues.
It's like Josh Friedman was back there. Josh Friedman weighed about 450 back there. And he's pissed because the sandwiches don't come with mayonnaise on them. I'm going to eat this sandwich. It got no mayonnaise on it. Well, first of all, you shouldn't be eating it in the first place because you're about to explode. It's always all the goings on. It's always interesting the goings on behind
that's
closed doors
true,
here.
Though.
It is. All of it's true. Like this. This is how it started. Yeah. This is true.
Non-communication, you know? IFB.
Although I did hear Jeff's voice. I never hear Leon's voice.
I don't know if Leon.
But I heard Jeff's
talks.
Voice, and he did say something. We should have, and I think we should do this. I think we should have Logan do a walkthrough.
Absolutely.
All
you gotta
do is come right in here, walk right through.
Right
you don't
behind,
need to
right
say anything.
Right behind the set. Right behind the set.
You don't need
set.
To say anything.
With an iced coffee.
Trey's not back because Trey's always ready
Trey's
to jump.
Trey's on vacation.
Trey's always ready to jump in front of the camera.
Right. I know.
You don't got to prod Trey.
If you mention Trey's name, he's ready to go.
He's there.
Yeah.
I know the boy. Well, they're working on Logan back there, but it's not working. You're not prying him out.
Well, he's busy. He's rendering.
He can't come now. I can't.
He's got to take a peek.
It's rendering. It's still rendering.
The video's rendering.
Everybody I know that edits, that's the out. It's rendering. It's rendering.
Yeah.
Hey, can you cut my office? I can't. The video's rendering right now. I still don't know what rendering is, but I've heard it plenty of times, and I think it's all bullshit. But anyway. All right, so let's just...
I don't even know how to render, Bo.
I don't even know what it is. I know how to render fat.
Yeah.
Put bacon in a pan and render that fat out of there. That's about all I know. Fat has, there's something about this business, though, that it brings together a lot of rotund people.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They like to eat.
Well, you can
like
get that
render.
Way, too.
Right? Well, it's easy because you sit there render all day and eat. And eat while you're doing it. All right, let's get to some... I'm trying not to get to business because there really is no business going on right now for the Miami Dolphins.
Right now, for us.
Everyone's gone. Players are gone. And look, some of these guys have maybe gone for 2 or 3 weeks and then get back here and start lifting, working, working out a little bit.
I saw Sam Young today. Looks good. Yep. Ready to get the offseason. Unfortunately, kind of disappointed that everybody's still playing football. Not everybody, but some of the teams that played well this year are still playing football.
So any surprises over the weekend for you with these games, Tennessee, Kansas City?
Kansas City surprised me after getting out to a 14-0 lead. I didn't think that was a team that was going to surrender.
No.
I didn't think that they were going to falter, and I didn't think that Marcus Mariota was going to raise his game to the level of – when it was his time to shine, he shined. Because that running game in that first drive of the third quarter just smashed Kansas City. You could see Russ Grimm's footprint and
all
fingerprints
over
all over that. They were going to run it and run it through that big horse Henry they have, and they smashed Kansas City.
Yep.
And I said, that was the first time in the game I went, uh-oh, something might be up. And then Mariota took it to another level.
Yeah, but then you got the Kansas City with some beefs
some bad
officiating
calls.
Bad calls. And you see where Jeff Triplett says, I'm done. I was so bad today. I quit. I was so bad. Leon should. But how do you feel if you're a Kansas City Chief fan or anybody in that Kansas City Chief organization, the owner, the Hunts?
Yeah, that's
Or Andy Reid or anybody that's split.
It's almost saying, I screwed up.
So much effort into it and know that the officiating was so bad. So bad that the head official said that I'm retiring. I'm done. No
one
more.
One of the things that happened.
And it was an all-star cast.
It was. Yes. Well, you get rewarded for getting into the playoffs, right? As an official.
Yeah.
The farther you go, the better you are.
Yeah.
Just like as a team.
Which leads me to a question. If you're going to do that, they should do group. If they got officiate.
It's not individual. They should do. It's not an all-star.
No, they should. To me, you should pick the best
group that work together.
That work together because yeah, they work too. Together.
Well,
it's
a team.
It's a team. They know what other they know what's going on with each other. And to me, I understand that you earn the right to officiate in a playoff game, but that doesn't necessarily give you the best officiating
right.
crew.
Right.
You know, do guys see things differently? Guys work together differently?
You work the whole season with a team
yeah.
dedicated to that one group because you want to get the best.
Yeah.
You want to get the best out of the collective group.
Yeah.
Not each individual. It's not an all-star game.
Right.
You're picking, hey, the best linesman, the best back judge.
Yeah.
We want a group
yeah.
to do it. But the one thing that really shocked me, and I think it was in that game because I was in the car at this point, there was a call that I think it was Mariota fumbled, but
right.
it was right around the 2-minute warning.
Yeah.
Now, Andy Reid couldn't challenge the call, nor could the booth make a call because it landed on 2 minutes exactly.
Right.
Is that not the worst
yeah.
explanation for a rule? How do you get, I don't know if it's ever happened
that,
before.
And that's a ball that they
Kansas
fumbled.
City clear, and then they kick a field goal
yeah.
to get some momentum
right.
before halftime.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how the NFL, with the catch rule, they got to take care of that in the
yeah.
offseason. This rule, they have to find, it's got to be the booth thing.
Yeah.
If the coach, head coach, or the assistant coach that's in charge of throwing the red flag, if he can't challenge, then it's automatically needs
yeah.
to be a booth call.
Well, there are some things going on that the league needs to really, and look, one of my things about this league, and one of the things that makes it really hard for me to watch football games in the NFL are penalties.
Yeah.
And good penalties, bad penalties, it doesn't matter, just penalties in general, there's too many of them. It breaks the game up. And then you've got, first you've got guys in the booth in New York watching every game and every call. Then you've got the guy still going down, and they don't put him under the 10 anymore, but they got the little iPad, the little Microsoft Surface that they show them that they look at and see that. And still... And I know this has happened to the Dolphins a number of times this year. Still on Monday or Tuesday, after the coaches send in
all the,
play,
the tape
it's,
of the mistakes.
Oh, yeah, we screwed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, our mistake. Well, how can you have that much redundancy, yet you still make mistakes? And you're all professionals
right.
at what you do. You got the guy sitting there in New York that's refereed 1,000 games, if not more, and he can't get it right. And he's got as much time as he wants to figure it out.
The thing I'd like to see changed, too, and I agree with that, Bo, the thing I'd like to see changed is when there's a challenge.
Yeah.
I don't need the official to come over
no.
and look at the Microsoft Surface.
No.
All I need him to do is stand there.
Yeah, and
have
that
guy tell
me. And I want
the guy in New York to tell the guy on the
sideline. He's wearing one of these, too. He's got one
yeah,
of these things in his ear,
just,
too.
Just tell him
yeah.
exactly what's going to happen.
Hey, was holding
and
or was a pass interference, whatever, yeah.
Let's expedite this thing to
they
30
were
seconds.
They're short. It's 3 seconds.
We've watched it three times
yeah.
with four different angles. It's fourth down.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
you know, it's a fumble.
Yeah.
Or 2 feet where he had possession. And let's move
yeah.
on.
I tell you, the other thing to me, John, are the penalties that are called backside when a player has no opportunity to affect the play
mm-hmm.
as it's going. In other words, backside, defensive end.
Tight end.
Chintzy holding
right.
on him. You know, and the play's over on the other side.
Right.
And that guy, there's no way that guy, you know, I'm almost at a point where, and I don't know what the solution to it is. Maybe you've got a, and I know this is too much. Maybe you've got a yellow flag and you've got an orange flag. And the orange flag you can throw out that say it's not a penalty, but I'm gonna go and warn you.
Right.
I'm gonna go back and warn you. Hey, you know what? I could have called penalty. I could have called holding on you, but since you didn't have anything to do, you know, just so the guy knows. But there's just way too many penalties that really don't affect the play at hand. That affect the pace of the game and create just a choppiness to the game that hadn't been there in the past.
You know what? I'm ready to. I never thought I would say a lot of this stuff that I say
yeah.
on the audible. But
yeah, you can say anything you want.
Say
on
anything you want. I heard that. But the one thing I would like to see potentially down the road is the NFL to adopt some of the Canadian Football League rules in terms of special teams
yeah.
and on kickoff, because there's so many bad blocks in the back
yeah, yeah.
on an opening play of the game or after you score and you kick one off and a team's holding or something.
Yeah.
I want the option. If I'm the receiving team,
yeah.
Bo, you score on me at 7-0, you're kicking to me. Or it's 21-7, middle of the third quarter, and I'm getting an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I know the wind's blowing. You're going to kick it out of the end zone. You know what? I'll take it on the 20 instead
yeah,
of the 25.
Instead of kicking the ball.
Instead of kicking it off.
Kick,
don't even
taking,
come out. Don't
yeah.
even send your special teams out.
Yeah.
My choice, I'll take it on the 20 or 25, whatever they deem the rule. That way there's no penalties.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about going to commercial. You go to commercial after the kick, you're done.
And you know where you're lining up.
And the offense is coming on the field. Yeah. It just expedites the BS that's in our game, which most of the kicks are going out of the end zone anyway.
Yeah.
Or if they do run it out, you're going to get a penalty and you're back inside the 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, look, I still, you know, to me, returning a kick for a touchdown is obviously one of the great plays in the game. But you're right. Now the vast majority of guys that you can return a kick as a kick returner and get 20 yards and feel pretty good about it, but you're still 5 yards away from where you could have been.
You started 5 yards in the end zone.
Right.
So it felt like you ran a hell of a long way or, you know, 6 yards deep, but you got momentum.
Yeah.
You run it out to the 22, we lost a few yards.
Yeah. And the other thing, John, too, is and I know they've been trying to get rid of the kickoffs in this league.
Right.
And kind of where you're talking about kind of is a in between that. You know, every time you don't kick the ball, the guy says, look, we'll just take the ball to 25 and we'll go from there. You know, that's it reduces the number of player injuries. Because those guys still, I don't care what, even if the ball goes out of the end zone, those guys got to run down a kickoff.
Somebody's getting hit.
They may not be breaking the wedge because the wedge isn't quite there, but some people are getting hit and hurt and the whole thing. So, yeah, I think there's some things that they could do to clean it up. I think
there's so many penalties on special teams and just so many bad decisions as much as the coaches go over it.
Yeah.
And especially, I can tell you, the Miami Dolphins are so thorough on how they practice with special teams. And throughout the league, there are so many penalties that occur on punt cover, kickoff cover, kickoff return.
Penalties. It's gotten to the point, John, if you see a kick return or a punt return and there's not a penalty, you're like, whoa, hey, there's no penalty here.
I can go to the fridge.
Right, exactly. Let's go. Anyway, Jacksonville, Buffalo, you kind of knew that was going to be a low-scoring game.
That was a snooze fest. I
watched a little bit of it. After I watched, each team punt four times, I think I said, I'll see the score. I'll take a peek at the score
every now and then. I wrote something down about this game. Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
He had less than 90 yards passing.
Right.
Okay. He completed two passes of 5 yards or more. Now, we're talking like preseason, maybe, month of September. This is a playoff game.
Yeah.
It's a wild card game. He completed two passes of 5 yards or more and won a playoff game.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. Unheard of.
Yeah. Well, that's almost like, I think if you go back and you look at Trent Dilfer's numbers on the Super Bowl when they won, kind of similar kind of a deal there. But I tell you what, the one thing about Jacksonville, and I haven't seen Jacksonville play much at all this year. Like I said, I see one game a week, and that's the Dolphin game. But I tell you, Jacksonville's defense, they're the real thing.
They can run around, huh?
Those corners are strong. You got Calais Campbell up front. Causing mayhem up there. You got the line. What's the linebacker, the kid they got from A&M? Is it Jack or who's the kid they got?
I can't remember.
The defensive end linebacker they got. He made some. Yeah, they're the real deal out there.
Was it Miles Jack you were thinking?
Miles Jack, yeah.
Yeah.
They're the real deal, that defense. And the only thing that's holding them back is a quarterback play.
Yeah.
You know?
And he ran the ball effectively. Yeah. But, you're going to Pittsburgh now next.
Yeah.
Right? So you got away with it once during the regular season where he threw for 95 yards and they won by 3 scores.
Yeah.
But this is the playoffs, and the Miami Dolphins found that out last year when you thump Pittsburgh in the middle of the season and you run for over 200 yards and you do a lot of good things. And you go back in the month of January, things change, in a hurry. And Jacksonville's going to have to play that keep away because Antonio Brown's practicing now. He's back. Ben Roethlisberger and the rest of that offense and defense, very rested.
Yep.
So it'll be a difficult task for the Jags.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And then you go to Atlanta and the Rams. I think, John, that was a case to
experience.
Me of experience. You know, Atlanta just went in there and did what they had to do. Nothing really special.
The Rams
just
looked like they had never been in water before.
Yep.
Didn't know how to swim.
Yep, exactly. But you got a lot of young guys, and they'll learn from that. They'll learn from being there. They had a great year, and that offense did a lot of good things. And
well, their defense is so
Donald,
good. Right?
I tell you, that kid Donald.
He's outstanding.
Oh my goodness.
He's one of the best, if not the best, defender up. Front seven guy in the National Football
League. We saw him last year in L.A., and I knew he was good. But he's gotten, and he's gotten better each and every year.
Yeah.
And he's still a relatively young guy, but man, what a What a player he is, man.
Strong, sturdy. Yep. Not a big guy.
Yeah.
But he can get the job done.
Yeah. And then Carolina and New Orleans. Good game there.
Well, a field goal to really change the momentum of a game, a miss.
Yep.
A chip shot miss.
Yep.
And Carolina's down there now not needing a touchdown, but a field goal to win it.
Yep.
You know, so as soon as he kicked it, I turned to my son. I go, you know what?
That's
momentum right there. That's going to give, you know, and I think that's when the big play again happened right after that down the field. They score. Then I missed the middle of the game.
Yep.
Came back when Cam was trying to get him back into it.
I tell you what, though, it's I was talking to somebody watching Drew Brees, and it amazed me when the last time the Dolphins played New Orleans, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, because they got, who was the little running back they had at the time?
43.
Just killed the Dolphins, just absolutely killed the Dolphins. He'd been there for a long time. I forget what his name. Anyway, but I remember watching Drew Brees, and I said, I don't know how he does it. No, it wasn't Ingram or Bush. It was Darren Sproles. Sproles just killed the Dolphins in the Superdome. But Brees is so short, he's almost got to go back and you got to check the lane.
You got to
kind of tilt his shoulders up and then kind of get it up.
And
I remember watching him on the sideline going, I don't know how that guy tilts back. And he tilts back a little. You think he wouldn't be able to see it. And he's throwing the ball like that. And boom.
He is so accurate.
Yep.
And he's a tough guy.
Yep.
And he's just been productive.
Yeah.
I mean, just so productive through his consistency throughout his career has been phenomenal.
And I'm kind of, you know, didn't pay much attention to New Orleans. I know they start off and then they got on a real hot streak there. Mm-hmm. And
their left tackle went down.
Yeah.
And they continued on, but, you know, who knows how that'll.
Yeah. But just to see them in the playoffs, you know, and to win a playoff game against Carolina to move on. Was a little surprising me just the way they started the season off, because I think when the Dolphins played them in I think they were 0-4 when the Dolphins played them in London, right?
I think so.
Maybe 0-3 or something, 0-3 going into
something
it,
like
or
that.
Whatever it was, something like that.
And I remember the time that the Dolphins went to the Dome. Dolphins were on a high.
Yep.
And that was the team that was, you know what, this will be a good benchmark.
Yeah.
The benchmark was trending down then.
It was down. No doubt. All right, let's move on and get some questions here. El Chapo, what do you both do without Dolphin football?
You know, El Chapo is pretty consistent.
He is pretty consistent. He comes in on a regular basis. Chat. Yeah, I mean, what else has he got to do? He lives in a cave. You know, he sticks his head up out of a tunnel every now and then. So
he's got a good ladder.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's kind of like you said, John. For a couple of weeks, it's great. You know, wake up days. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I don't have to get on a plane. I don't have to travel.
Right.
I know this, after this year travel, I'm not going to go anywhere for 2 months. I'm not going to get a plane for 2 months, and then I'll start doing a little traveling after that.
Yeah, you need.
It's been a rough travel year for this team.
You know, it has been a rough travel year, and experiencing it the way, you know, on charter sometimes, you know, you live with those losses, or you're high on a victory, and then it's fleeting because you have to drop it.
Yeah, the next
just
thing.
Like the players do. You may talk about it for maybe 48 hours longer than the players, but then you have to turn the page and move on and try to get ready for the next
game. I know this, the weeks after a win are much better than the weeks after the loss.
Man. How about back-to-back wins?
That's awesome. Yeah. But I'll tell you, there have been some weeks, that 5 week loss, that 5 week losing streak was, man, I felt like I was getting up and going to the gallows every morning,
It was painful.
Getting ready to get hung somewhere.
Think about putting yourself back in the locker room and, you know, and trying to go through something.
Yeah, but
like
look,
that.
I had said this when they got their, you know, the opening game canceled, sent to LA for 10 days, whatever it was out there. Come back, go to New York, and I keep trying to remind people. I said, but a couple weeks before the opener was canceled, we were in Philly for 4 days or 5 days
that's right.
too.
Practices.
So you're there for four or 5 days, then you go to LA for 10 days. Come back, go to New York, and then head to London. And after that, I said to someone, look, I know no one's using it for an excuse. No one's claiming it's an excuse. But all I can tell you is this:
this isn't normal.
I've been everywhere they've been. I'm damn tired.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm tired. I haven't played it down yet. I can imagine what these guys are feeling.
That's right.
You know
exactly, and you know they were.
Yeah.
And you're trying. Your mind says no, I'm not, but your body's telling you yes, you are.
Well, it's funny. I did doing the coaches show, and I do the coordinators during the show. And the last time I did Clyde Christensen, It was after the back-to-back home games. Mm-hmm. And that was week, that had to be what, like week 13 or something?
Late, yeah.
It was late. It was 13,
it was
14?
Denver, New England, right?
Yeah, Denver, yeah. New England. So, and I remember walking out and he says, man, I feel like I've been home for a month. It's the first time all season that the Dolphins have had back-to-back home games.
Now you feel like that.
Yeah, and that's you're on the plane. And so, yeah, it was a... It's kind of, so anyway, so I'm going to kind of just get away from it a little bit, watch the playoff games and do that, and then just kind of chill out.
Yeah, I'm doing the same.
Bit. Yeah.
Trying
to find my golf game, which is it's just like a forgettable
tech. And disappears when you don't want it.
Well, mine disappeared, and I don't think it's ever coming back anyway. Trey Bay, any word on any comings or goings with the team? Well, the word is, you know, Lawrence Timmons not expected. I don't think it's official yet, right? These aren't official. Lawrence Timmons not coming back. Juwan James
Julius
not
Thomas.
Extended the contract. Julius Thomas. Certainly Jay Cutler not coming back. So those are the guys that, you know, unofficial as it is, but they're not going to be back. They went ahead and signed, they added Dowell Loggins, the offensive coordinator from Chicago, and Jeremiah Washburn, the offensive line coach, who was with the Dolphins a couple years ago. They bring him back as the offensive line coach. But that's really it right now. That's really comings and going-wise right now. I know there's a question some here that I saw that Mark Miller on Facebook, any word on Jarvis's contract?
None.
You know, that'll be forthcoming. That's I don't see that happening, John, until after
the season,
after combine, yeah. After, you know, Senior Bowl. You know, these guys right now are in scouting mode.
Yes.
They're in full scouting mode now. I think they've done some looking back at the, you know, at their
game,
some self scouting and doing all that player evaluation, all that stuff. And now I think they're firmly entrenched in scouting mode, getting ready for the Senior Bowl, getting ready for the combine, looking at all these tapes, looking at tapes, and you know the scouting guys have all looked at them. Now the coaches are starting to kind of, you know, get their little clips and looking at guys and this and that.
Well, that all has to kind of match up. You know, the scouts can do all the investigatory work that they can do.
Yep.
And now the coaches have to come in and go, well, does that fit how I coach that position?
Yep.
You know, you hope it does because you've had those meetings. But, you know, let's narrow it down to these are the guys that I really like. Let's get a pecking order and say, you know, if I had my pick, this would be the first guy. This would be the second guy. And I think the Jarvis stuff is going to lead all the way up to free agency.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be resolved a month before free agency is over. I think it's going to kind of ride up because that has to match – what your thoughts are if you move away from a guy like Jarvis Landry. You have to find a replacement either via the draft or free agency.
Yep.
So or somebody you're going to sign that's undrafted that's you've had in camp that you really liked. I doubt that scenario happens. So you got to either draft a guy or select a guy out of free agency.
Yeah,
so
you got to fill that spot.
It's got to happen, you know, as it leads up to it.
Tommy Cloggs, have you seen anyone play, whether we need him or not, that truly impressed you in college this season? I haven't seen enough. I haven't looked at guys enough. You've seen a lot more of these guys than I have by doing the games, and I watch the games and see what I see, but not really in that vein. But I can tell you this: I keep going back to my four needs for this team. It'd be quarterback, tight end, linebacker, outside linebacker, and some sort of an offensive lineman, preferably a guard. And you can kind of switch those things around any way you want. But the one guy that's sticking in my mind right now is Baker Mayfield. I think of the quarterbacks, and I know everybody – look, I think everyone's in agreement that the Dolphins should go draft a quarterback this year and should draft him in the top four rounds, you know, to make it a legitimate guy that – look, I know Tom Brady came in the sixth round, whatever it is, and other guys have come from different places. But I think once you get past that fourth round, you're really fishing out there. But I think of those four quarterbacks that are out there of Rosen, Donald, Allen, and Baker Mayfield. I don't care where those other guys go. To me, if I had the first pick in the draft and I was going to take a quarterback, I would probably still take Baker Mayfield myself.
Right.
Only because I just to me, he's that Russell Wilson type of a guy. Not as much of a runner as Russell Wilson, but a guy that knows how to play the game, is a winner, and is going to create things and probably going to make guys around him better. I'm not sold on the USC guy and the UCLA guy and a guy, Allen, from Wyoming. You know, I haven't seen him play, and you've got to weigh the competition he's played against.
I agree with that.
And I know Carson Wentz is a poster boy now for, look, this guy played at North Dakota State.
Right.
Well, you know, there's been one Carson Wentz over the last decade or so.
Better get the guy right.
Yeah, you better get the guy right.
That. And I agree with you. I like Baker Mayfield as a competitor and the way he goes about throwing the football and the way he has all those intangibles that he has. I think the best pure thrower of the group is Rosen. But how much, you know, how much does he want to be the best pro? Darnold probably has the most upside from USC because he can do a little bit of everything, but he hasn't done it for a long time at a high level. So I think if he goes to a team, I don't know if he's the guy that right away that that starts. But there's also guys like Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State, and there's other guys in the draft that are just pure throwers of the football that have a little bit of foot speed and a little bit of to them that you might get in a third or fourth or fifth round. And there's a couple other guys that have that ability. So if you're the Dolphins, I guess if you stay at 11, you better have conviction if you're going to take the quarterback because he's going to push Ryan Tannehill to start. He better push him or else you shouldn't be picking that guy at 11. So, you know, I also agree with you. I'm looking tonight at Alabama's defense and Georgia's defense, especially if I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, because I want to look at the linebacking cores on both teams. I want to look at the corners and the safeties, because sometimes those guys can be at corner but be a better safety in the pros, or maybe he can be a nickel corner or a guy that – when you need to go to dime instead of nickel, you've got another guy that can cover. So my eyes are on those types of guys. And then you have big backs and small backs in this game. Bo Scarborough for Alabama, he's a big back. You know, you got Sony Michel right here at American Heritage High School, who's that scat back. And you also got Chubb in the game, Nick Chubb. So I just think there's a lot of wealth of talent.
That's the one thing that's pretty amazing, how Sony Michel can come in and push Chubb to the second string. As good as Chubb is, you know.
He's that talented.
Yeah, he is. Pretty amazing. Hey, Lamar Jackson, where do you see him? He's come out. He's coming out for the draft. Where do you see him fitting into that quarterback picture?
I don't know. I think in today's game, you have to give him a look.
Yeah, because
he's a guy. I don't throw out the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Watch tape.
Yeah.
And watch games. He is electrifying in the open field. Now I know that doesn't translate because it's a different speed at the NFL. And it catches up with you. Just ask RG3, right? But you have to be able to give that guy an opportunity to prove all the scouts and all the doubters wrong.
Yep.
Give him a chance to play the position. And after a month or two or a year, you cross-train him.
Yep.
But you get that special athlete on your team if you have that luxury, and you plug and play wherever you can, play.
Especially now, because teams are now more – and I've always kind of been a proponent of this – look, if you're going to go out, and it goes back to like the Vince Youngs and RG3s and even going back
to
Randall Cunningham and those guys,
right.
You know, the guys that became so good in college that you want to draft them in the first round, but they ran the football,
right?
And then your league was like, no, I know you ran it in college, but we don't want you to get hurt, so now we're going to make you a pocket passer, and you take away half of what made them as successful as they were. And I think now the league has gone to the point and said, hell with that. We're going to let you play the way you play.
We might have 44 years with you, but you go exhausted.
You've been running the football all through high school, all through college. We're not going to change you now. You haven't gotten hurt in high school and college. We're just going to keep – and look, if we get you for 4 years, we get you 5, 6 years, whatever. But we're going to play into your talents.
Right.
And if your talents are, you know, running that read option, holding the ball and running, then we're going to do that. And I think that's where Lamar Jackson really has that opportunity to show what he can be in the special – but I think Lamar Jackson is probably, John, and maybe I'm off, but – second round, maybe late second round, maybe even slides down into the upper third round, something like that.
You know what? Let's put it in this context. I think so, something like that, right? But let's put it in this context. You put Lamar Jackson on the Jacksonville Jaguars and tell me he only has to throw for 90 yards.
Yep.
Just throw all for 95
day long.
Yards.
I take him all
Don't
day long.
Don't turn it over, but you can run it as much as you want.
Yep. I'd take that all day long.
Yeah.
But the issue would be like let's say for the Dolphins and Ryan Tannehill's your guy, your backup's got to have some matchup with your.
Well, you have to be able to run the same offense.
Right.
It can't
be
Tim Tebow.
Right.
And you know, a guy that's purely a pocket passer,
right.
Like a Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
You say, okay, you guys are going to run the same thing.
Yeah. No,
it's not going to happen.
Big Ben goes down, and then you can't run that.
You're stuck.
You're stuck.
You're a two-game winner in Pittsburgh.
And therein lies a lot of the rub with Colin Kaepernick. Is you know, I mean, there are a lot more legs to what was going on with Colin and him not getting back into the league, which I think is a bit of a travesty. But the other thing is that look, Colin's a guy that he's got to be that running guy, and same thing. You bring him into this offense.
Well, you shake your head.
He doesn't fit.
You're battling yourself now, yeah. And you're coaching three different schemes of what you want to do. What identity does your offense really have? So, yeah, I think you have to be able to mimic what the starter does, and if you add something to the table that can give you a red zone option or a short yardage option or a package of a 5 to 10 plays that you can run, great.
Yeah. Let me see. Daniel Prez, you know, you got these guys that are they're all about fashion. Daniel Prez, John, love the shirt. Where can I get one?
You know what? I don't know. This was one of those team issued ones. Yeah, they may have it in the team store.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
In the team store.
Go online. I'm sure you can get one there. Team store. Last one. I think we're going to wrap this up after this.
Brent's... Did they tell you that in the IFB?
No, I just said it because I've got a conference call at 4 o'clock.
I thought that it was finally working.
No.
Okay, I was checking my watch.
But look, I've heard more in this in my IFB today. I've heard more of this in this IFB today than I've heard all the rest of the time that Leon's been there. But Leon doesn't say anything. Any tight end catcher in there? That's the other question. The other thing is tight end, John. Yeah, tight end is a position that is to me, I would like to see this team address the tight end position in the first two rounds.
Well, it better be a special talent. It better be a guy that can walk in day one and start.
Yep.
Now, I do agree that this team needs someone that can do that. If there was an O.J. Howard,
if you could
go in a time warp and think about that guy last year on this team, would you pick him? Absolutely. Everybody's hand's going to be in the air.
Yep.
I'll take him. But it has to be that type of guy that you feel like can come and walk in, work hard, and start.
Yep. I kept saying, go look at Stanford. They've been spitting tight ends out for the last
decade. Well, Zach Ertz supposedly had short wingspan. And,
Well, they got the Tuilolo still playing. They got
there's a bunch ton of guys from out
there. Was a one-year Andrew Luck last year where they didn't have any wide receivers.
They had three or four
all their
tight
wideouts
ends.
Were hurt, and so they were just they're winning football games just with three tight ends in that football team. So they've become a breeding ground for a tight end. John, that's going to do it for the show, man. I appreciate
it. Good spending time with you.
Yeah. It's going to be – these shows are going to be kind of like this from now on.
Bad?
Alabama or Georgia, who do you like? Well, no. They're all bad, Some are just worse than others.
Really good. Alabama, Georgia. I would love to see Georgia win the game.
Yep.
But I think Alabama's going to win.
Well, yeah, I'm with you. I want to see that. I want to see that look on Nick Saban's face at
some point in the fourth quarter.
Where it looks like he just bit into a lemon.
Yeah.
And just that sour look, because
how about when he does this one?
Yeah.
Just when he takes the
headset
off.
I said, John, I always look at there's that one point in every game I've ever played in my life. I'm sure it's the same for you. I've played in games where it's coming the first quarter. I played in games when it came in the last 5 seconds of the game. I played in games where the game's over. Ah, geez, we just lost this game. It's over. And Nick knows it too. And the cameras always know it. And when that moment hits, they always go to Nick Saban and get that shot. That's sheer joy for me to see that look in his face.
Bo, get your popcorn out.
When he knows the game is over and we just got our asses kicked. And I didn't win another national championship.
I think Georgia, if they just play the way they've played, eliminate all those mistakes and penalties and all that stuff, and they can hang in the beginning, they've got a lot on offense for Alabama to handle.
I just think that that Alabama has been the what their loss to Clemson last year has been festering inside them for a whole year. And we saw it against Clemson, and I think we may see it again against Georgia. I think it's a carryover. I think Alabama's got I think they're on a mission, and I think they get the job done tonight.
Not
something I want to see, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, let's hope Georgia plays well.
All right. That's going to do it for the Audible today. We'll be back on Wednesday. Not sure what time. Not sure who will be here. But I know this. Jeff will be back there working. Logan will be back there working.
Wait, Tom might even be back with
Matt.
Tom
will probably be back there working. Matt will stick his head in there.
But Trey.
Matt will stick his head in there just to make sure that he's still got his Taylor Swift tickets where he needs them. We can see him. And then and Leon. We'll see Leon in a month or so.
What about Trey?
Trey Bien, I think, is out looking for a date. He's had it was a rough 2017 for Trey Bien.
He's glad he turned the calendar.
That's it. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you on Wednesday.